the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's epistle reading, the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses. Every day we see and hear news that upsets us. It could be the recent earthquake in Chile, or the devastation wrought by the hurricane in Haiti, or the abduction of a child. Our hearts always go out to those affected, and our prayers embrace them. Occasionally, it is more local, and our hearts are heavy. And I'm referring, of course, to the abduction and murder last week of Chelsea King. We immediately identified with her parents and friends and share their pain because they are part of the San Diego wider community. If we are parents or grandparents, we perhaps think of our own daughters, or if not, of some young woman whom we know. And as we do, there is always that question: why God? For it is not just heartbreaking when a young person or child is taken and killed, but it is patently unfair. They have done nothing wrong. They do not deserve to have their life ended before it begins. For those who are affected, who are people just like us, it can question your faith. Though without faith, how would anyone cope? The suffering of a child or a young person is one of the hardest things to cope with. It is the raw experience and expression of innocent suffering, which extends to natural disaster and war and everything in between. And when these things happen, we pray. Of course we pray. But even for dedicated Christian people, there is that haunting question: if God is a God of love, why do these things happen? Jesus faced exactly the same question in today's gospel. Some people came with news that Pilate had slaughtered some men from Galilee and had mingled their blood with their religious sacrifices. This was not only an act of vengeance and humiliation, but was sacrilege also. So Jesus was asked, were they worse sinners than everybody else? Had they done something wrong because they had suffered so? In fact, for the Jews, suffering was often punishment for sin or wrongdoing. And so it begs the question, why would they have suffered? They surely must have done something wrong. Jesus says, no, of course not. They were no worse than anyone else. And then he gives another example to the crowd. What about those 18 people tragically killed when a tower in Jerusalem fell down and killed them? The sort of thing we often read about in the newspapers today. And no, they didn't deserve to die either. They were no worse sinners than anyone else. So where is this God of love in all that? Let us be in no doubt about God's great goodness and love. When he said to Moses, I am who I am, he means, of course, I am the God of love. Natural disasters and the evil that men do may overshadow God's love and keep it in the background, but they cannot take God's love away. Indeed, because sin causes evil deeds and intentions from the evil of men's hearts, we must believe that God is a God of love. Otherwise, there is no hope for the world which contains sin. Because God is a God of love, there is an answer to sin and evil. We are now on the third Sunday of Lent, and as the season unfolds, we see before us the passion, suffering, and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus went through this, gave his life as a sacrifice to offer the world an alternative to sin, to show the world there is a way of goodness and love, starting with the sacrifice of God's only Son. And somehow in our suffering, we walk with Jesus on his way to Calvary, though it is a great mystery. Both the epistle today from 1 Corinthians 10 and the Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 3 reminds us that God showed he was a God of love. He called a people to be his own, the chosen people, offering them a covenant which was to stand firm forever, a covenant of love. And if they loved him and followed his ways, they would be blessed and would be his people. But even his chosen people could not resist sin, for they are no different to us. And so they became slaves in Egypt. But God still loved them despite sin, and so he called Moses to go back to Egypt and deliver them from their slavery. And Moses, following God's initiative, led them through the Red Sea to freedom from slavery and the Promised Land. In that reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, St. Paul tells us that for Christians, the exodus of the Jews was an image of baptism. The Israelites escaped from slavery to freedom by passing through the waters of the Red Sea. And that is an image of baptism, such as we come to celebrate this morning. How can the Christian sacrament of baptism be prophesied by the Passover all those years ago in Egypt? Well, firstly, the Passover is an image and symbol of Christ's death and resurrection. Before the Israelites could pass through the waters of the Red Sea, they had to sacrifice a lamb and sprinkle its blood on their doors. And when the angel of death came by, he passed over their doors and did not slay their children. That Passover, in which the blood of the sacrificial lamb was preeminently important, was caught up by Jesus, our Lamb of God, who sprinkles his blood for our deliverance. And so the Passover became an image of Christ's sacrifice, and the escape through the Red Sea is an image of Christ's resurrection. For you see, through his death and resurrection, Christ has freed us also from slavery, but not in Egypt. Slavery now. Slavery to sin. And baptism releases us from any power that sin and evil might have over us. Every liturgy the church celebrates, every Mass, not only proclaims this truth of what Christ has done for us, but makes it real yet again. And so this morning, as these two children are baptized, they pass through the Red Sea, just as surely as the Jews did all those years ago. And they enter the Promised Land through the grace of this sacrament. And you see, this is why Lent climaxes on Holy Saturday evening with what is called the Easter Vigil, that great service which celebrates the resurrection in the dark, in this darkened church. And in that service, the resurrection is celebrated with images of the Passover and the Exodus and also of baptism. And so you see, at every Eucharist in this church, when we say the words that St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, therefore let us keep the feast, it means that we here today are celebrating yet again the Passover which brings us to freedom and joy. And so this morning, having celebrated both baptism and the feast of the Eucharist, we take the love of God, which is so real here, that love which embraces us and wishes to embrace the world, we take it with us so that God's great goodness and love will be real in this world and will be able to resist every force of evil that confronts it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.